The place is your hoe. Welcome to Hoe Ventures, a podcast about the riveting tales of professional daters. Here is your host, Chantel Etoile.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 12 of Hoe Ventures. I am back with part two of question and answers. But again, first, if you'd like to support the show and keep the show continuing, you can buy me a cup of coffee at buymeacoffee.com/hoeventures. So I am doing this question and answer because I am, by the time this episode airs, I will be recovering from surgery. And I wanted to keep the show going while I was recovering and not having to worry about tracking down guests and getting my schedule together while I was preparing for surgery. So I'm recording before surgery so that the show can keep going while I'm recovering. So thank you to everyone that participated in this Q&A. And I got another six questions here. Great questions. I'm so excited to answer. And again, if you have any questions that you would like answered on a future episode, you can contact me at adventures@hoeventures.com. You can send your questions via Twitter at hoeventures or on Instagram at hoeventurespodcast. Or again, if you know me personally, you can send me a text message. So we will jump right into this. First question. Oh, any sexy tips? Okay, so everybody knows that on this show, I do not like to discuss the sexy aspect of our business because, because I'm tired of the whole world focusing on that. We are so much more than what we do physically in that aspect. But we do get questions from vanilla people that want to strengthen their relationships, and they always ask us professionals for sexy tips. The sexiest tip I can give anyone, communication. Seriously. I know, it sounds crazy. Communication is the absolute sexiest thing ever. One, you check in with each other, right? You ask each other what one likes. That's the best. Because how do you know? If you're just watching, like, let's say porn, or you're reading magazines and, you know, all of these books that give you tips and tricks on what to do, I can tell you what I like. I can give you tips from my personal experience of what I like or what my partner likes. But that may not work for you and your partner. The best tip is communication. Ask each other, what do you like? What don't you like? And if you're only doing something because the other one likes it and you don't like it, that's going to end up, you know, breaking down the intimacy in your relationship. If you can come to a mutual agreement, like, hey, I like this, and I understand that you don't like this. Is there some way we can, like, meet in the middle where I can be pleased and get my satisfaction while also making you comfortable? Because if you continue to just do something that only benefits one party, it's not going to last. Resentment is going to build, and then your intimacy breaks down when the resentment builds. Nobody wants that. And then that's when the relationship starts to go downhill. And it's, unfortunately, you know, sex is a big part of relationships, whether you're a professional dater or a regular vanilla civilian relationship. It is a big part of it. And a lot of marital problems or just relationship problems usually start with a breakdown in communication. That's the sexiest tip I have for you today, is communicate. And there is no such thing as over-communicating. The more communication you have, the better it is for everybody involved. Seriously. I've learned this throughout my life. I've learned this just giving advice to friends and their relationships or I don't know. People come to me a lot for relationship advice, surprisingly. I guess I'm not really that surprised, but other people are usually surprised that a lot of people come to me for relationship advice. So anyway, communicate. That's it. Question two, relating to the profession, is setting the tone and knowing your limits / boundaries. Okay, communication is involved in that, but I will also say, as a professional dater, that's something where you have to be comfortable within yourself. One, knowing yourself and knowing what you like and don't like and having those boundaries within yourself. It can be scary as a professional dater when you're trying to set limits and boundaries for yourself, because one, you don't want to turn off the client, and then you have, you know, you have your dangers where, and I think even outside of this industries, I think most women can relate to dating someone and having to feel comfortable with telling a potential partner, whether you meet them on Tinder or at a bar or wherever you meet someone, you get into this intimate situation and you're like, oh, I'm not comfortable. But how do I tell them that I'm not comfortable without them getting violent? Because this profession is not the only place where we face violence. I probably face way more violence in my normal life than I do as a professional dater, which is one of the reasons I became a professional dater. I was like, I can set boundaries a lot easier than I do in the real world, because men in the real world feel so entitled. For some reason, as a professional, I feel way more respected with my boundaries than I ever did before I became a professional dater. So you just have to know yourself and know what you're comfortable setting boundaries. And you have to in this industry. You absolutely have to set boundaries, or else people will constantly try to push your boundaries. And know your limits. There's a difference between wanting to like try something new and explore something, and then like, hey, I'm no longer comfortable with this. This is my limit. And it is okay to have limits and have boundaries, whether you're in this profession or outside of this profession. This goes for men, women, non-binary, every single person on this planet. You are allowed to have limits, and you're allowed to set those limits and have boundaries for yourself. And if anybody pushes those boundaries, you know what? Don't give them a second chance. Don't give them more chances to push your boundaries. Honestly, even if you're married, I don't give a fuck if you're married or not. And I know this doesn't go with, you know, our culture of like, you know, work things out, and, you know, divorce rates are so high because nobody wants to fight for their relationships anymore. It's overrated. Honestly, if somebody in your relationship is pushing boundaries, fuck them. Get the fuck out of their relationship, because it's not going to get any better. They're just going to continue pushing your boundaries until they can find a boundary where they can then cross it. And then once they cross one boundary, it's over. It's done with. So that is my advice. Set your boundaries and stick to them. If you don't stick to them, the other person definitely won't. Number three. Oh, this is good. How to keep conversations flowing when you're not as interested in the suitor. Okay, so this is really funny. Me personally, if I'm not interested in somebody, it is actually a lot easier for me to keep the conversation going, because that means I'm just like, I have to fill in the space to make this not awkward, right? I have the gift of gab, as you can see. I talk a lot. I love talking. I love having conversation. This is why I'm doing a podcast. So for me, it is easy for me to keep the conversation going. I have a very vast interest and of like a lot of things. I can talk about almost anything. And if I don't know the subject, I will want to learn the subject, because I just want to know. I like to soak in knowledge. So I ask questions about them, you know, and it's sometimes it's not even that you're not interested. It's sometimes the client is just really shy. They're quiet. A lot of people just don't like to talk that much. One thing I find, travel is something that always, you can always talk about travel with somebody, or you just ask them questions about themselves or whatever they're interested in and then get them to converse in that way. And if you just get to a point where it's just like silence, music, turn on music and just ask them what their favorite band is or something like that, or group artist, whatever, and turn on music and just sit there in each other's company and listen to the song. Talk about the song. Ask them, why is this their favorite song? There are many things that I do to keep the conversation going. I personally don't like silence. Awkward silence is like so uncomfortable for me. So I will fill in any gaps of silence that I can. And I don't know. I'm great at conversation. So I never have that issue. Any professional daters out there, let me know. Reach out to me on Twitter. Let me know, how do you keep the conversation flowing when you find a date struggling to have conversation? And I can answer it on a future episode. So number four, what do you wish you knew when you started in the business? Oh, when I first started, and this is something that I often tell newbies to the industry, it is okay to be yourself as much as yourself as possible. I understand that, you know, we don't want to give everything of ourselves because we have safety concerns, identity concerns. So you may not want to share things that may tie you to your real world identity. And that's okay. But don't try to be somebody else. I wish that somebody would have told me that, because the first couple of years as Chantel, I struggled a lot because I was doing what I thought would work to get clients. And I was miserable. I was getting clients that I did not enjoy because I thought that this is what I needed to do to get business. I didn't think that anybody would relate to a Black woman from the South, who is an atheist and a vegan and listens to heavy metal. Like, that's how I identify myself. Although those are just small portions of who I actually am. There's so much more to me than these things, but I was afraid to share those things because I didn't think that I would get bookings if somebody was like, why is this Black woman listening to Lamb of God? Like, she's weird. She's strange. And I was just like, okay, you know, these are the things that I like. And, you know, I only want to go to brunches. And I don't want people knowing that I love to jam out to, you know, smaller bands that play in little hole-in-the-wall venues in Ybor. I didn't think anybody would be turned on by that. But the thing that I found out after, you know, being years in the industry and becoming more comfortable with myself and being more vocal with myself or about myself, is that I have gotten much better dates and a better returning client ratio being myself. And the more I'm myself, the more I find the clients that relate to me, you know, where I started getting clients that purchased concert tickets for me. I've gotten like VIP backstage pass concert tickets because they're like, hey, Lamb of God is going to be in this town. Go enjoy a trip on me to go see Lamb of God. I got a private bass lesson from the Lamb of God bass player, John Campbell, because a client was like, hey, you would really love this. I'm purchasing this for you. So I wish that somebody would have told me this in the beginning. I wouldn't have struggled as much. And so I'm really happy that I did eventually figure that out. And question five, how does one leave the professional dater's world? Ooh, it's really easy, actually. You just leave. You usually just you shut down your website, delete your Twitter if you want, and you just leave. There's a lot of ways to leave this industry. You know, a lot of people think that once you enter this world, like, that's it. You have to do this for the rest of your life. And that's not true. There are a lot of people in this industry that are just paying their way through college, undergrad, grad school, law school, medical school. I mean, we know that tuition costs in America, I can't speak for the rest of the world, but in America, tuition costs are ridiculous. So a lot of people do this job because, one, it's very flexible and it can be quite lucrative and keep you out of debt. Or there are people who start in this industry so that they can pay off debts. And once they've reached their goal of paying off that debt, then they exit and move on to whatever else they had planned in their life. Or a savings goal. I mean, we know that, you know, it is difficult with the rising costs of, like, well, everything, housing, food, everything, the rising costs. And it's hard to save for retirement. Everybody knows the millennial generation and Gen Z, there won't be retirement for us. So people know that, you know, now in their 20s and 30s, we know that. So a lot of us are in this dating world so that we can save up for our future and for our retirement and have padding. Because I can tell you, as an accountant, I was going to have to work way harder and way longer to save up for retirement, where I don't have to do that now. Even if I leave the professional dating world, and I will never go back to accounting, but let's say that I did, I would be in a much better place financially to, like, enjoy the work that I do. So that's how you do it. You decide what you want to do after this. And if you don't know what you want to do after this, that's okay too. A lot of people aren't sure what they want to do. And so they do this job until they decide what they want to do. Some women just want to, you know, maybe be a housewife and raise children. And they're going to do this job until they find a suitable mate. There are many situations of, you know, how we could leave this industry, but it's not as difficult as people make it seem. Now, is it difficult if people know your background? That's possible, but a lot of people in the industry are not out, or they don't tell too many people in their private life about this job. So it's pretty easy to transition once you decide that you want to leave. The last question for today's episode: what happens in life after this? So what happens after we leave the professional dating world? Whatever we want. Anything could happen. Like I said before, not everyone wants to do this for the rest of our lives. So we can do anything after this. I think that I will always have some ties to this world in some form, whether it's a podcast or something related to this industry, because I love this industry so much. It's given me something that I don't think that I would have otherwise. Again, why I started this show is because I knew that I would never have experienced a lot of the opportunities that I have, or met some of the most incredible people that I've met because of this industry. But life after this industry is up to each individual. We all have futures. The media would like to tell you that, you know, we're some used up women, that, you know, that after this, nobody will want us. We will have careers. We will find love. We'll raise children. Not me, but other people may want to have children. Our opportunities are endless after this industry. My favorite part about that is the amount of knowledge that we will have exiting this industry. Whether it's social media management, negotiating management, setting boundaries and rates, running a small business. I mean, there is so much that we learn being in this industry that after we leave this industry, our opportunities are literally endless. It is all about what did you take during your time in this industry. That is going to let you know what happens in life after this. I know for me, whatever happens after I leave, it's probably going to be great because of everything that I've learned while doing this job. That I know as an accountant, I didn't even know how to build a website when I first started. I didn't even think that was something that I needed to learn. Not only have I learned, I know how to build websites. I throw websites together all the time for myself or for a friend for any reason that I have. I can build websites. I've taught myself, one, how to run a podcast, how to do audio engineering. And I'm still learning and still working on these things. Pretty soon I'll be learning editing videos and things like that. These are things that I would not have done as an accountant. So after I leave this industry, I think that every single one of us, our opportunities are just endless in whatever we decide to do. So that was the last question for this episode. And again, if you have any questions for a future episode, please let me know. Reach out at adventures@hoventures.com, Twitter, Hoventures, Instagram at Hoventures Podcast. And those are the best ways. So thank you so much for tuning in, guys. And thank you for all of your support and all the well wishes for my recovery. I do appreciate every single one of you. And I hope that you guys are having wonderful adventures this summer. And as always, keep it sexy. Thanks for listening. Please leave a 5-star rating on iTunes or any of your listening platforms. Don't forget to subscribe and follow the show on Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube at Hoventures, and on Instagram at Hoventures Podcasts. As always, keep it sexy.